It is Saturday, May 18th, 2019. Today I did a podcast recording with John Friend from TheRealistReport.com. I did it on my audio chat server because John had technical issues. So therefore, I decided to do it for him. And just in case, or for your convenience, I've decided to post it as a fakeologist audio, since we don't have that many lately, and present it to you before I edited it or he edited it. So without further ado, here is John Friend interviewing me about my views on 9/11, which are pretty much the same as when I started, but I have refined a few of the broader points. John Friend from The Realist Report. Here's the interview. All right. I am now in the audio chat live stream with The Realist Report, John Friend.
Very
John,
good.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to be hosting your Discord, so this will be a first for me. Thanks for thanks for helping me, and we'll see how this goes. I think hopefully it'll be better than Skype. So if you're ready to go here, I think this will probably take maybe a little bit longer than an hour. If you're ready to go, I'll just do and then we can get started. Okay, cool.
So I am ready to go. I just want to make sure I'm not echoing. I thought I heard an echo, which if I echo through Discord, that means you have some audio issue at your end. That's all. So, but it sounds good enough.
Yeah, you sound good to me. Hopefully I sound good, and hopefully we won't have any issues. I've had a lot of technical issues over the past few months. So lately, though, it's been pretty smooth. So hopefully this will go smooth.
All right. Okay.
Right. So here we go. No. I'm just going to do an intro. Just hang tight for just a minute. All right, folks. Welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Saturday, May 18th, 2019. And this is a pre-recorded edition of the program. Of course, my website is TheRealistReport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly history magazine affiliated with American Free Press. I encourage listeners to subscribe to these fine print publications. Visit AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. That said, let me introduce our special guest today. Aberrato from Fakeologist.com is joining us. Ab hosts a very interesting program at Fakeologist.com focusing on media fakery, psychological operations, and related topics. Ab, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, John, for having me on your show. And you've been on my show in the past when it was more active. My show is a little more dormant right now, but I do appear and participate in other audios regarding media fakery. So I am still a voice that is to be reckoned with.
Yes. And I've always been a fan of your work, although I can't say I always necessarily agree with your takes on things, but I think you put out a lot of really, really interesting material, to say the least. And you've had a lot of really interesting guests on your program over the years. And I want to an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself, especially to my audience. As you mentioned, I have been a guest on your program, and I've been following your work probably since I think I first came across your website. It had to have been in 2015 or 2014. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I remember you were covering 9/11 big time, and I've always been very, very interested in 9/11. All of the different aspects and angles to 9/11, to really figuring out what the heck happened that day. Both of us have always been big fans, and I think it's fair to say we've been very much influenced by the work of Simon Schack and September Clues, the documentary. And, yeah. I interviewed him a number of times and, the basics that he presents in that documentary and the way he explains 9/11, I think, frankly, makes a lot of sense. And checks out at least in my book. I know a lot of people dispute it and, have a major issue with a lot of the perspectives that he puts out about 9/11, but I think it adds up and I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think it's probably the best explanation to really understanding what happened on 9/11, how it was carried out. So, with that being said, can you just introduce yourself and kind of walk us through how you became interested in these topics? And how you became involved in the alternative media and setting up Fakeologist.com.
All right, John. Well, I have to agree with you on September Clue, Simon Shack, and Forum.info. That was the most revelatory video and revelatory website that I can think of. And I started in 2012 when I started looking to Googling the IRS for tax purposes for some reason. That came up on our radar here in Canada, where the United States government let every American know around the world that they needed their tax returns, regardless of whether they even lived in the U.S. And as an American citizen living outside the U.S., I was kind of stunned by that remark, and I was stunned by the capitulation by the Canadian government and other governments to this new ruling. And to this day, I'm happy to say I've complied with filling out a tax return with the IRS, but because I was doing research into what the IRS was, what it was all about, I started bumping into characters like Alex Jones, who talked a lot about that. And once you're on a website, as you know, it's full of links, and I saw information regarding 9/11, which I had never thought of, considered, or even entertained. And that was the beginning of going down a huge rabbit trail that is 9/11, and that leads to a million other topics related that I had no idea the world of psyops and media fakery existed. And I am someone who was fully subscribed to the media. I was a news junkie. I enjoyed all the news programs, the nightly broadcasts, all the magazine shows. I was locked into CNN and Larry King Live. And I was what I thought was a fully aware person. This whole other side, this flip side, was completely new to me. And it just blew my mind, honestly. I was just blown away. I don't know if I couldn't believe it at the beginning, but I was just stunned that how could someone as alert as myself be so unaware of this alternative look at the world. And I knew of the word conspiracy theorist, but I'd never thought much of it. I had tried to look into JFK by reading the mainstream books that came out trying to expose it. I'd seen the Oliver Stone movie about it. I was fascinated by all that, but I was very frustrated with the conclusion of the movie and the books, and I was just frustrated that they did not go anywhere. It just left you in another state of confusion where the cause was not advanced. And regarding 9/11, I always wondered, 2012 or up to 2012, that's 11 years, how the story never really got moved along by an official government source. How is it possible that the world's largest, most intelligent military could not solve this problem or decided to ignore the 9/11 issue? And I just figured that since no one was talking about it in the official sources, then maybe they couldn't find anything to investigate. Until, again, I got into Alex Jones and some of the videos that he hosted on his website, and I started looking into them, and one leads to another to another. I investigated probably for 3 or 4 months, or it might have been 3 or 4 weeks. I can't really remember the timeline anymore. But I pretty much settled on September Clues as my definitive answer as to why it happened, how it happened, and why nothing was being done. And I was just remarking to my wife how I've been doing this for 7 years, April 2012, and it's already May 2019, and nothing really has changed other than there's a few extra voices on the scene now. Of course, a few voices have left. But nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing. Just my perceptions have changed. My critical awareness of the media, my complete distrust of the media, my disdain for the media. And now I'm taking a fairly laid back approach to it. I don't do an active show at the moment, mainly because of work constraints and, just needing more sleep and not being able to stay up late to do broadcasts. But sometimes I think, what's the point anyway? So I still participate in chit chats or people like yourself who want to talk to me. I don't really approach people at work and or on the street to explain myself or to let them know of this great revelation that I've got, because most people don't care. They don't care about the mainstream media. They don't care about the alternative media. They really don't even have a great awareness of what's going on around them. So I don't think it's my job to enlighten them on anything in life. So this is where I am right now. And I'm still enjoying the topic. I don't mind explaining the latest scary topic in the media to someone within the context of 9/11. I'm happy to do that, but I'm very restrained in my explanations to people because I know people don't really want to receive the information.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, no, you're right. I sympathize with a lot of what you said. Cause it's true. I mean, I think it's fair to say that there has to be some sort of spark within somebody and to actually really consider perspectives, you know, like we're talking about. You know, it's very difficult just to kind of approach somebody or just start, you know, explaining your views to somebody if they're not interested. And as you said, most people just are not interested. In fact, they're disinterested. They don't want to hear about it. You know, they might take offense to it or think you're crazy or whatever, you know? So I totally hear you. It is something that I try to, you know, I basically keep it to myself for the most part. I mean, if it comes up, I might, you know, start talking about it or something. But generally speaking, I try not to, you know, go around and telling people about my views. Although I did when I first kind of was waking up to a lot of these issues, I was posting info on Facebook and trying to share information and emailing like friends and stuff. And yeah, that didn't work out too well. People get really alienated really, really quickly once you start doing that. And you know, looking back on it, it's understandable. You know, I don't blame them for taking offense or, you know, not reacting positively to it. I mean, I think me personally, I've always been an open-minded person. And if I had a friend approach me with some information, I'd want to hear about it. I'd want to talk about it. But I understand the vast majority of people just do not operate that way. And that's just the way the world works, I think.
Well, the older you get, the less receptive you are for new information. And this is my 52nd year spinning around on whatever we're on, a ball or a platter or a piece of pizza or whatever it is. And I myself, I know I'm less receptive to any new information. It's just a fact of life. It's just basic biology. You get set in your ways. I don't want any new information. I don't want a new job. I don't want a new world outlook. I don't want a new religion. So you can understand how people, once they get a certain age or live a certain way, they are less amenable to change and new ideas. So if someone came to me now with a new idea about something, I would basically just slough it off and say, good for you. Go look into it. Call me when you figure it all out, and I'll tell you if I even want to hear about it. So you understand how the grizzly old man comes about in life. You just become more sympathetic with the causes as you move forward into your life.
Well, I remember first encountering your work, and as you mentioned, it goes back to 2012, 2013. You were doing pretty regular broadcasts. Yeah. I mentioned you interviewed Simon Shack a number of times. You also had some other guests as well that were talking about 9/11 and talking about the concept of media fakery and psychological warfare, topics that I've always been fascinated with, and I've done a number of shows on these topics as well. Simon was a guest on my program at least once. I think I actually only interviewed him once, but I had other people that were basically along the same lines as Simon, you know, that kind of went along with his research about media fakery and 9/11 on my program. And I, of course, I've interviewed all sorts of people about 9/11. Dr. Alan Sabrowski, for example, Dr. Jim Fetzer, Dr. Kevin Barrett, a lot of people. So, we've been covering 9/11 for a long time on therealistreport.com. But, I think offered by Simon in the exposes about the central role the media played is probably the most controversial and taboo topic, even within like the 9/11 truth movement. For whatever reason, you know, everybody gets all upset when they hear this sort of information or they think it's disinformation. And in my experience, most people just simply don't even understand what he's really saying about 9/11, what the documentary is really saying about 9/11. So I'd like for you to kind of just explain what the the main conclusions that you've come to about 9/11.
Well, it's funny because I haven't really summarized it lately in my brain. And that's why I created the blog, fakeologist.com, where I could just write down some of my main ideas, my main points. And I don't have my blog right in front of me now on my phone because I'm mobile. But I do have a section at the top of my blog where you can click my rabbit trails and also some of the more important points about 9/11. And my research is not original. What I've just done is collated what I think is the best research, and that's pretty much Clues Forum and September Clues. So I have taken all of the September Clues tour guide Simon created and put it on my blog in case they can't get to his website. And that lists pretty much all the central factors that created what is a psychological operation. It really is all created in the media. Now, I don't blame Dan Rather and Peter Jennings and Aaron Brown, the news heads of that day. These are just news readers. So you have to ask who has the time, the effort, and the planning ability to create a story to feed to the media. So every time we talk about the media, I think it lets off the actual creators off the hook because we're one step away when we use the word media. And media just means in between, from who is creating these stories. You have to ask yourself, who has the time, energy, and the budget to create stories year after year, government after government? And that's the other person or entity that gets thrown around as the perpetrator, the government. Well, who is the government? I participate in elections. I look through candidates, and most of them are just regular people that subscribe and get sucked into a system. So I don't think my neighbor who runs for counselor is actually doing any planning. What is the infrastructure? And it seems to me it has to be an entity that doesn't change from year to year and has a huge budget. And that leads me to the intelligence agents. They are huge operations in every Western country. They receive billions of dollars and they don't change with a government change. It's a big, massive bureaucracy. Is it a wing of the military? I guess it probably could be looked at such. But if the intelligence agencies are the actual perpetrators of all these ideas, then who is guiding them? Somebody must be influencing them. And I doubt it's the president, the prime ministers that are really pushing them around and telling them what they think should be done. So really, getting back to 9/11, in my mind, it was just an operation created by the intelligence agencies using the media as they always do, because the media is how we get our information. We don't talk to our neighbors and we don't get it necessarily from our families. We are all plugged into this media that is fed by the intelligence agencies. They created a massive hoax story, hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. And they decided for many esoteric and occult reasons to do it on a day that I had no idea had any numerological significance on 9/11, which was pretty much the beginning of the millennium, I suppose. It's also New Year's Day in the Coptic calendar. So it really is the first day of 1,000 years. If you want to look at it that way. And they created a story and executed it, pretended or portrayed it as live. We all thought it was happening in real time, and we were all told we were under attack, and we had to prepare for an endless war that could never be won, whose enemy could never be identified, and it would just go on forever. Similar to the blueprint that we all read in high school called 1984, which was just another piece of the puzzle to create this reality that we all accept as true because we're inundated and propagandized with it day in and day out. So it is our reality if we are plugged into the media, and 99.9% of people are plugged into the media for their reality. And therefore, my main conclusion is that the main reason that no one is being persecuted or prosecuted over 9/11 is probably because no great crime was committed other than creation of a big lie using the media. Now, I don't even know if there was any insurance fraud, because all the information we get about it is quite possibly a story, a full A to Z front to back story. So we can't verify any part of the story. We can't know any of it is true. If we don't accept that planes hit the Twin Towers, and therefore if there were no planes and there were no one, there would be no one in the plane. So that means nobody died. So if none of the pilots and none of the so-called attackers in our story and none of the passengers we are told are in this story, then what else is not true? So then you start breaking down all the people we are told died, looking into them. And if the majority of them seem to have been somewhat simulated or created by a simulation piece of software and all the geniuses and the intelligence agencies, then it makes more sense that if no one died the way we are told, then there is no crime, and therefore there is no need to go after anybody for this event. That's the only thing that makes total sense. So if there is no crime, then why there is no prosecution? There doesn't need to be. If there's no insurance fraud, and that's all a story too, then even that. It is not illegal to lie to the public. There is no law that says you cannot lie, create a bald-faced lie and spread it, that I can see. So therefore, nothing went wrong, or nothing is a criminal offense that I can see. So therefore, that explains why nothing was done. So yeah, the only thing that's hard to believe is how can a big lie that big go undetected? And then you go into all the side ancillary stories. Well, if it's a big lie, how can 1,000 people stay quiet? And then you have to go down and explore those ideas. And as you learn, it's not that hard. People are quiet even in their own lives, in their own families, in their own jobs. If they are told to shut up, that their job depends on it, their future, their financial future depends on it, they will shut up. Nobody, it's just an amazing revelation to me, honestly, and it still blows my mind to this day.
Yeah, me too, man. I hear what you're saying. You know what? I know you don't have your computer right in front of you, but I'm looking at your website.
No.
And if you guys go to fakeologist.com, if you look at 9/11 PSYOP bullet points, let me just read through this briefly. Cause I think this is a good way. I was just reading it before we started. It's a good way to kind of break down your saying about what happened on 9/11, what September Clues presents. And you have here overall operation. Number one, media fakery is the main concept to be understood. Number two, 9/11 was a PSYOP, a military operation of deception and denial. This operation was a total, complete event conceived years in advance, managed over generations. Number three, to reinforce the hoax, official Hollywood movies are released quickly. After all, the script had been long pre-written. In this case, we have 9/11, Flight 93, and there was, you know, again, a Hollywood movie called United Flight 93 that was released to kind of perpetuate the official myth, right? Drills, drills are used to create a plausible deniability explanation for why emergency workers are in place. Number five, in order to fund the operation and fleece the public, foundations and compensation funds are set up in the names of victims and to help pay for the ongoing operation. Number six, chances are there were no real victims. Vic Sims are created using Photoshop and other digital technologies, and actors and actresses are used as family members. They are probably retained by salary or pension or annuity to keep quiet. And then number seven, PSYOPs are most likely done legally. People probably don't die, at least as we're told, which makes it easier to get participants to agree. And I generally agree with this, that the victims of 9/11, that's something that still, I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly how they did it, but I do think that what we were shown on television on 9/11 was, as you kind of explained here, like this elaborate story, this pre-concocted movie, essentially, that was just played on our televisions as if it were like really happening in real life that day. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when you go back and analyze the media coverage surrounding 9/11. And that's what September Clues is all about. That's why it's so important, the work that they did, because they do that. I mean, they literally are showing us what the media showed us on 9/11. And the vast majority of people, pretty much everybody across the entire world, experienced 9/11 through the television. They weren't there. They didn't see any of this stuff happen in real life. They saw it all on television. How powerful the television is in perpetuating deception, in the masses psychologically and emotionally. And that's exactly what 9/11 was all about. It was a very, very traumatizing event that people experienced by the television, right? That is very, very clear and obvious to me. And I mean, again, take a look, go watch September Clues, check out the research that they put out there. Check out you can even watch the live coverage of 9/11. You can still find it online and take a look at
it. We be portrayed as live coverage because it wasn't live. Right. That's the main thing. None of this can be done on the fly. Anyone that has any knowledge of how movies are made knows how long it takes, how many people are involved. Just look at the credits of the digital creations that people worship today. The credits must go 10 miles long and last for 25 minutes. There's so many people involved in just moving a digital arm up and down all day long in a movie. It's fantastic. So this was planned probably the day the Twin Towers were built or before. This whole thing was planned out for a long time. And again, what organization has the planning capacity to go throughout the years and not worry about personnel changes or political changes? There's only one entity that is in force and stays in force year after year, government after government. That's the intelligence agencies. And they are directed most likely by the money system. We are all in the money system. We all are slaves to the digital dollar, whatever it is. It doesn't matter if it's the Federal Reserve or the BIS or whoever it is. So if we are all playing the money game, if everything we do all day long is all connected to this one thing, the money system, then whoever sits on top of the money system has to be driving this. Because it is the absolute most universal belief system we have. We all agree, no matter what our color, creed, or religion is, we all agree to exchange these pieces of paper or digital dollars to make things happen in this world. So whoever is winning that game, if you look at Monopoly, we all know whoever has the most hotels pretty much dominates the game. They're going to win. There's almost nothing you can do to stop it when you play Monopoly. I don't know if you play that game. So whoever has all the money is going to make all the rules. So they are going to direct the intelligence agencies how to control, or they're going to direct them. They're just going to throw money at it saying, listen, you guys have to control the population with whatever means is required. So whether it be deception, whether it be media manipulation, that's your job. Your job is to make sure we keep all the money and everyone else stays happy and keeps this ball keep the balls in the air. Once that stops and the balls hit the ground, that's when the people at the top are going to say, we have a problem here. Because in the end, their digital dollars will be meaningless if someone's pointing a gun at their head. Nothing will help them except a small army, which if the army can't get paid, then the whole thing collapses. So that is, when I look at pointing the finger at whatever group it is, it's whatever group has all the money. And I think there are hundreds, if not thousands, of gangs that run this world of all different religions, and they all fight, they all either cooperate or fight with each other for ultimate or shared control at the top, because there's enough digital dollars to go around to the biggest families that I think are controlling. And they have to create a peace among themselves, because they don't want one group to screw the whole thing up. But really, yeah, they have so many techniques to keep us fighting and divided down here, sniping at each other and using their ideas to turn against each other. They never have to worry. So the they is never going to be one identifiable, easy to digest or explain group. It's always going to be the people with all the marbles. And until, if we drop the money system, then who knows what will replace it? Probably another money system. But that's, in the end, what I've decided is probably the best explanation of who's doing it, who's controlling it, why they're doing it, and the techniques they're using. I think John LeBron has said this, and I like his line, if I was going to create a society and run it in a great way, in a way that benefits me, I wouldn't change a thing, because this is working perfectly. And there's not enough of us to say, hey, this is the system. You know, I could explain to 1,000 people, this is the system, this is how it's done, and people might be okay with it. They might say, well, I got enough for myself, and in a way I feel the same way, so I'm okay with this. I'm okay if that basketball game we all watched is rigged. I'm okay if you explain it, okay, the ball went in with a magnet. Okay, but it was still entertaining. Even if you've explained the magic trick to me and I'm okay with it, then nothing's going to change. So I think even if we explain the 9/11 magic trick and people see, okay, well, they're still eating, they still have a nice life. Okay, why change it? What's the problem? You know, so that's the conclusion I've come to, really.
Yeah, and we've kind of had debates over the years as to who is really in control, what faction. One thing I agree with you for sure is the techniques they're using to control us, to manipulate us, to psychologically exploit us, the tactics that they're using, using the media, using media fakery, using these totally scripted fake events like Sandy Hook or any number of other alleged mass shootings and, you know, alleged terrorist attacks. I think a lot of this stuff is totally fictional, totally media created, and it's designed and used to advance this agenda, to keep us in fear. So a lot of that stuff we agree on. We've, you know, again, as I mentioned, had some disagreements over the years as to who's really in control. And one thing I can agree with you on is that I do think it's accurate to say that there are a number of different factions for power, competing for influence. A lot of times these factions are collaborating together. Sometimes they're competing. But overall, I think, as you know, at the very top of the global power elite system is an international network of primarily Jewish criminals that are behind a lot of this stuff. And I think that became very clear to me when I was researching 9/11, seeing who was in positions of power and influence to make this happen, who benefited from it, what agenda it has benefited. And that to me is very, very clear. And we can get into that in a few minutes. I wanted to bring up a couple other points about 9/11 that are kind of critical, I think, that we haven't really had a chance to talk about thus far. And this is, again, coming right from your website, the 9/11 PSYOP bullet points. And you talk about the World Trade Center event points here that I'd like to maybe briefly talk about. Number one, the towers themselves may have been made from the beginning to be destroyed in some sort of operation like this. I think there's some evidence to demonstrate that. Number two, the towers may have never been internally completed. So the towers themselves may have never been fully built the way that most people think that they were. Number three, the towers may have never been fully occupied. The 1993 bombing, which, you know, most people I'm sure listening are aware of, there was an alleged terrorist attack back in 1993 at the World Trade Center complex. So this alleged bombing was a fake event, you say here, to clear any remaining tenants out of the building and to introduce this character of Osama bin Laden. And you say here, Osama Sim Laden, as if he's like a simulated identity, a simulated fictional media creation, which may be true. I'm not sure about that. The next point here, you say, the towers were empty soon after 1993, years leading up to 9/11, were used to slowly remove all internal structures. Point here, Lower Manhattan was evacuated early on 9/11, early on the morning of 9/11, and around 50 quote-unquote drills were used as the excuse. All of these bullet points, I think that they're definitely worth considering, and I do think that there is some legitimate evidence to conclude that this was in fact the case. Do you want to maybe just elaborate on any of this? Maybe bring up any.
Again, I try and gather what I think is the solution to the magic trick. None of these are my own ideas. What I think is the best explanation, and I got that from the Let's Roll forums and two researchers, Phil Jahan, I think, that runs the forums, and Larry McWilliams. They were the ones that described in a couple good audios that I've featured on my website. I call it Master Fake Theater. Because I think I've highlighted the best audios describing the 9/11 deception, and it's their idea that these buildings may have been built as a prop because when they came online into the real estate market in New York City, there was already a glut of real estate, so nobody could understand why they were being built. There was no need for the real estate, and it depressed the market for a long time, if not permanently, in the Manhattan area, and therefore there's some video, there's some images, and of course we don't know if they're real imagery of the towers looking skeletal at best when the sun is shining through and showing incomplete floors. And really, if you're going to create a magic trick where you bring two towers down and you show that there's little or no debris, again, we can't verify that, but I think people were able to, in a week or two, see that everything's been cleared out. That would explain why there was not as much debris and there were phones and no desks. If the place was either incompletely built and or over, since 93 at least, anyone that was in there was systematically moved out, and that they had 8 years to move out, which nobody would be able to detect if they're doing it in the evenings or in the course of the business hours. You could easily move everybody and everything out over the 8 years before they were destroyed. So there would be absolutely no way. And you know, I've used to work in office buildings, and I understand about different elevators, elevator banks, control access floors, and all that kind of stuff. There's just no way, even if you worked in a building, you'd be able to know what's going on even the next floor up. You can't even get around these secure buildings. There's just it's not possible to get a good overview of what's happening. All of it is possible that this whole thing was engineered at least 50 years in advance. And the next big one is being engineered right now. We don't even know it's coming. So I have no doubt, really, that it's the best explanation for why it happened or how it happened so quickly and so perfectly. And I also highlight on my site the CDI group, Controlled Demolition International, which appears to be the biggest and the best demolition company in the world. And every week they post some destruction somewhere in the world, usually America. And those destructions, those videos absolutely are flawless, the way they can collapse anything into its footprint into a pile of dust. So you can't tell me you needed a special weapon to take these things down. No, you just used good old dynamite and whatever other material they use to perfectly implode buildings. And it happens all the time. And it has been for forever. Although they don't do it in Canada for some reason. I've never seen a building get blown up here. They just take it down piece by piece, but that's another story.
A question though, speaking of that, do you think that the imagery that we were shown from the media of the buildings actually collapsing on 9/11, do you think that that was authentic imagery?
No. I don't think there's, no. That was more Hollywood created media. There's just too many anomalies with the way it came down and the way it was portrayed. And the only explanation is just movie making 101. And we see a lot of this type of movie making in some of the movies that led up to 9/11, like Independence Day, some fantastic explosions and smoke and all the things that were described as very magical and unnatural by the same people that bring you the official story, bring you the unofficial story. They know people will doubt the situation. So you have to be ready to have the alternate story, controlled opposition. You have to be ready to manufacture and lead the opposition much easier than trying to take over or co-opt a group. You just start the group. If you start the group, then it'll make it very difficult for another similar group to get going. It's just like a business. You know, if you're first to sell widgets, you're going to get the market for a period of time before your buddy down the road creates a competing widget company. Same with the opposition. If I start the 9/11 opposed, the 9/11 truth group, then I'm going to catch almost everybody who doubts the story. And once you catch somebody into your net, it's hard to get out of the net. And if a real opposition group ever started, then the members would be loath to cross over to that group because they've already made a decision on who they want. It's very hard to get people to switch allegiance once you're on a team. Pretty hard to get out of it. So this is what I call total spectrum domination. This is the nature of PSYOPs. This is a big business. This is not just something that was thought about quickly overnight. This is an ongoing massive business. It's a massive operation. It's going on now. It goes on in little forms all the time. And with the 9/11 template, it's so much easier to see what's going on in this world and in the media. We don't have to seek it out. It's brought to us. I don't want to discuss any of today's media, but they're literally put right in our face. Say, look at this, look at this, look at this. And we have to look at it unless we want to close our eyes or shut off our phones or our computers. It's hard to get away from it, but if you can explain it with the 9/11 template, you are so much freer and you are so much better off.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, you mentioned a couple of guys that I wanted to talk about briefly. Jahan and McWilliams, and they were from the Let's Reform. Are they still active? Are they still doing any? Is their forum still active? Do you know?
I haven't seen any material from those two guys in audio form since those broadcasts. And as for the Let's Roll website, it's pretty quiet. I do watch it from time to time. I don't go to it exclusively. But it's been pretty quiet. All the forums, actually, even Clues Forum, has been pretty quiet the last couple of years. Because if the main principal person behind each site is dormant, then it just follows that the people that are participating tend to take the lead from that person and are also dormant. So even my own audios, they become a little quiet if I'm not completely active in them. And I'm just one person, so I can't do everything all the time. I have my own interests, so overall I think those guys are pretty quiet. But, you know, once they make one really good audio, what else do they have to do other than...
And I remember listening to those guys. The first time I ever heard them was on Jim Fetzer's program.
That's why
This was probably 2011 or so. I'm not even sure exactly when it was, but... They had some very, very interesting views about 9/11, And, you know, same thing with Simon Shack. You know, I always had an open mind and I wanted to hear everything about 9/11. I wanted to listen to Judy Wood. I wanted to hear what everybody had to say because I was really interested and I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And one thing that struck me was the perspectives that these two put out and Simon Shack were really never taken seriously by people. But especially by people in the 9/11 truth movement. I mean, Jim Fetzer interviewed him and, you know, I think he did a pretty good job. He was pretty fair with them, but the majority of people just dismiss this stuff as like crazed, you know, far out there nonsense when really I think that they had a lot to bring to the table. They were putting out some ideas and some information that were certainly worth considering and I think made a lot of sense.
Well, I don't know so, who this majority is, honestly. I think that's another myth. I think there are people that say they're leaders in the truth community that want to, again, they're put there on purpose to misdirect. If anyone starts to get a critical mass, they will just start discrediting and not really addressing the salient points in, for instance, form of September Clues. So I don't believe that there's a majority of anybody that thinks anyway. And I don't even expect anyone to come to my website to totally agree with me. I keep a couple people that disagree fervently with me around just to show that I'm trying to stay somewhat balanced in the sense that I sometimes will try and defend myself and not just ban people from the site, although maybe some people who are banned might think otherwise. So I just don't think there is a real good consensus of what happened on 9/11, and that is on purpose, and there can never be an official statement from any organization that's so-called official or of authority on 9/11, so they can keep us fighting. But I think that some of the bigger voices that say they are the leaders in research, yeah, they might, I think they mainly ignore the September, they don't even acknowledge it as legitimate, they just keep pumping their same old messages in a propagandistic form, psychic driving their message that goes absolutely nowhere. So if someone says most people think, I don't believe that for a second. I think most people that get as far as we do probably agree with our conclusion because it's the most sensible, logical explanation for what happened.
Right. Well, you know, since you've been researching 9/11 and kind of come to these conclusions about it basically being this scripted story that was pre-planned, you kind of branched out and focused on other psyops throughout history, including this idea that we went to the moon and, you know, many other topics. What can you say about, I guess, the International Space Station and the Apollo moon landings? Have you come to any sound conclusions about these events? These are topics that I haven't really great detail anyways, but I'm pretty convinced that a lot of it is fake. But what can you say about space exploration and how legitimate it really is?
Well, that was another easy one to come to. Again, I took it as being real just because I didn't have any reason to doubt it. But after 9/11, the main thing 9/11 taught me is that you can fool the entire world forever on certain topics. So then the logical thing to do is if you come to that conclusion as I did, what else is brought to us through the media, by whatever, again, solid, constant body is in our world, which is the intelligence agencies. And the main thing that I feared, even though it wasn't really my generation, it really wasn't promoted in my generation, and I'm from the 60s and 70s, were nuclear bombs. Because that, to me, should be everyone's greatest fear. If there is a weapon that can completely wipe out, no matter what, where we live. And when I looked into that and saw the so-called evidence supporting the idea of nuclear bombs, I dug deep enough to be thoroughly convinced that the very foundation of nuclear is fraud. The very idea of the science behind atoms and protons and neutrons and electrons is science fiction. Full stop. I don't believe any of it. Because the evidence, the stories, the storytellers involved all point to just one massive story. So therefore, nothing with the word nuclear to me is real. Nothing. Nuclear power, nuclear weapons. So that was a massive relief for me. And after that, everything else is just incidental. So I want to look at the moon. I don't believe any of the stories around it. I don't even have an idea where the Earth's atmosphere ends and whatever is beyond begins. I don't know what's beyond a certain altitude. I don't know if it's weightlessness. I don't know any of that. And I don't think anything NASA has said has verified or proven any part of their official stories about what's up there. Therefore, I don't know if it's a, although it's unlikely, I don't know if it's a dome. I don't know if it's water. I don't know if it's black weightlessness with twinkly skies, stars as we see in the movies. I just don't know. And I don't know why they're not telling us. I don't think it's because they know it's there. No idea. They have no technology. There's no development. They only stifle any possible interest in the population. Go beyond and figure out what's out there. I don't know what the reason is, but I am 100% convinced that the space program, NASA, is all complete fabrication that goes on today in a very weak effort on their behalf around the world, whether it be the Japanese, the Chinese, the Israelis, the Europeans. None of them are doing good space fakery. It's all very weak, which just tells me no one's paying attention. Nobody really cares about it. There's no real interest in the population to look into it, and therefore they can put out whatever garbage they want because no one is going to even care if it's being shown as fake.
Right.
It's sad, really. How do they remove the imagination from children to wonder what else is out there? What did they do? Is it just the education, the propaganda, or just the full plate of distractions for young people? Not even to wonder, where do we live? What is the nature of our planet? What is beyond our planet? Because we're just told BS stories, and that just quells anyone's appetite for exploration, which is too bad, because that's the biggest resource we have is children and their imagination. Because as I said earlier, as you get older, you don't want new ideas. You don't care about something. So if you can remove that from the children, the only hope you have of moving forward and learning more, then we're just going to stay in this state of stasis where we don't move, where we don't advance. And that to me is where we are in so-called space.
Yeah, I can't say I totally agree with you, but I think you might be right. I just don't know. I do think that there is a lot of fakery involved with it. Even going back to the alleged Apollo moon landing, and you got an interesting, page on your site. You got a lot of interesting pages on your site, but one that's fascinating that I'd encourage people to check out is fake footage that changed the world. And you write here, the major events of our time by what we saw on TV. Greatest hypnotic propaganda device ever invented, and that is so true. The television is really, really a powerful medium, and I think we're seeing the internet kind of compete with that, and we're seeing a lot of the fakery we get through the television being perpetuated, using the internet now. And then you say here, fakeologists contend that all the iconic video of our time is fabricated, created in a Hollywood studio to deceive the public and sear into the memory of the collective consciousness, subconscious, so deeply that it is unchangeable and unforgettable. That is a very powerful statement, because I think you're definitely on the right track. And you have some videos embedded here on this page of four videos that, again, fake footage that changed the world. You got the JFK Zapruder film. from what I can tell, based on the and even Jim Fetcher, I mean, Jim Fetcher's been talking about how the Zapruder film was faked for years now. The Zapruder film is not genuine depiction of JFK's assassination, right? It's just not. And there's a lot of ways to prove that. The 9/11 Hazarkhani shot, which is, you know, video footage allegedly taken by this guy named Michael Hazarkhani. And he's, what was that? That was the first plane strike or the second? I can't remember the details off the top of my head. Do you know?
Well, I'm thinking it would have been the second. I think it was the second because, of course, nobody was really prepared for the first. I think the first went into the South Tower. I honestly can't remember.
Okay. Well, either way,
it's like remembering a script. It was. I don't. You know.
Either way, it was a very iconic video that was just shown to the public repeatedly, and it turns out that it's absolutely fake. You also have here the moon hoax, the Apollo landing video, and then nuclear bombs, which that's a topic that I have covered, and I do think you're right. I'm not convinced that, you know, nuclear weapons are real and that this sort of technology is at least not the way it's depicted, right? I think it's been used to create a sense of fear in the public. Every day we wake up and we see in the news about this country is trying to obtain nuclear technology, that country, and it's always some country we're preparing to go to war against, like Iran or Iraq or whatever. I think that there is a lot of deception involved with that as well. And I know you've done shows on that topic, and it's very, very interesting. Simon Chak was also, getting into a lot of these topics as well on the Clues forums, correct?
Simon has a great section on NASA and the moon hoax. That's definitely a place that I spend a lot of time looking into that. As for nuclear, he's definitely commenting. There's probably for sure a thread about that, but Simon's work on the space agencies is probably second to none. He seems to have a particular interest in the solar system and the nature of our, we're told, how it works. And of course, he has that's where he has focused all his energies right now into a person that had an alternate explanation for Copernicus named Tycho Brahe. And he calls his model of the solar system the Tychos. He has a separate segregated website, tychos.info, where he discusses it. It's not really my interest. I've never been one to sit and stare at the stars and try and explain why they go a certain way in a year. I'm just happy the sun comes up for a long time in the summertime, and that's the extent of my interest. But he has really dived deep into it, and he is still going on.
And it's an interesting
whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting.
I don't know who it's listening to. I know we should be paying attention, but again, I don't have a big interest in it, and I can't be interested in everything that the people I really like are interested in. It's just not possible. There's only so many hours of the day, but he is really deep into it, and so he's touched on most of these fake issues, and he's one of my favorite posters, even though he's Norwegian, who lived in Sweden. He now lives in Italy, and he speaks five languages. He's probably one of the best writers in English and the most concise, get-to-the-point writer I've ever encountered. And I always enjoy anything he writes. It's quite interesting. He writes better than I do, and I only speak one language, and that's English. So that to me is, certain people have just a certain way of creating written word that just gets right to the point, is effective, it's sarcastic, it's right where it needs to be. So anything he writes about, I usually enjoy.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's very, very impressive, very, very intelligent, very good writer, as you say. I've always been very much influenced by his writing and his views on a number of topics, but especially 9/11. And, I wish him the best. It's been a long time since I've talked to Simon. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I don't really talk to him much either, fortunately, because he's just wrapped up in his solar system model, and he might be doing the best research of anyone in the world on it. I can't really comment on it because I'm not into astronomy. I would love it if somebody in astronomy would make a comment about it in public. That would be great. Is he completely off the rails? Is he completely wrong? Or is he completely right? But it doesn't appear that there's any interest in that topic either amongst the people of the world. Maybe there aren't big maybe no one is really into astronomy anymore. I don't know. I'm not in that world. One day, maybe you or me or someone should just put Simon plus a mainstream astronomer in the same forum and just say, hey, what's going on with these two views?
Yeah. Like, oh, that would be awesome.
Would anyone care about it? I don't know. You'd think that people would care about what goes on in their world and their government regarding media fakery, but not enough people care about it. You care about it. You're one of the very few people that understand September clues and 9/11 that I've heard in the entire world, the English speaking world, at least. I don't know about all the other languages, but that's amazing to me that where are all the fakeologists? Where are all the John friends that understand media deception? There should be a million of us by now. We've been talking about it for 8 years. What's happening?
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the frustrating things doing this because, you know, over the years, I've encountered all sorts of people in the alternative media. I've interviewed all sorts of people.
Yeah.
This topic has proven to be just one of the most controversial and alienating topics for people. You know, people, they just want to go along with the media. I guess it just shows how powerful the media really is. You know, people that are, you'd like to think are critical thinkers and, you know, they kind of get what's going on and yet they'll still fall this mass shooting stories promoted by the same media that's been lying about everything else. You know, it's dumbfounding actually.
Well, you know, I've never been a politician, but I can be sympathetic with them because I think what happens is when you get into politics, change the world, and maybe some of the leaders are real and do try and bubble up, but I think they hit a wall. They hit a ceiling really quickly when they see the real power structure that has infiltrated, not even infiltrated, but just controls how the mechanism politics work. When you get to a certain point, an idealistic point, you get in there, you realize you're not going to make any changes because what does it take? It needs money. We're in the money. So how do you stay in power? Well, you got to raise money. Who do you go to? And this was explained to me in some other audios. So then you have to go to a lobbyist. A lobbyist is an expert at bringing money and using it to influence politics. So the same people that are vilified in politics, the lobbyists who represent corporations, who represent the richest family in the world, they're the ones that the politicians need to raise money to get back into power. So it's a completely sick system where you need to go to the people you vilify to keep the system going. It's completely incestuous. So unless they stop the incest, it will never change. So I think once politicians see how the system works, it's like when you go into a casino, you see how the system works, it's way easier to join them or just withdraw altogether. So if you're a politician, you see how the system works. Okay, I was idealistic. So now you realize the only way to get ahead is you have to cross over into the corporate side, into the money side, and just masses be damned. And then you probably just get a huge disdain for the masses, thinking, well, these people are just so stupid. They can't see the system I see because I'm now on the inside, so I don't even care about them anymore. And I think the people that have morals and have a conscience, they just leave the system and go away. Now, the more ruthless ones, which is probably the majority, they just cross over onto the dark side, if you want to look at it that way. And as researchers, John, I think we're experiencing the same thing. We're not on the inside, but we're on the outside. But we see that the masses don't care. So if the masses don't care about what we are doing, then why should we care about them? And I think a certain amount of cynicism develops with us, and we can walk away easily. Because why would you care about people that don't care? It's an insane position to take. Once you see that what you're doing doesn't make a big deal, then you naturally should logically withdraw and just say, no, I'm going to leave people to their own devices. Let them wallow in their ignorance. And unfortunately, they're going to be controlled because they're looking for controllers. They don't want the real answers. They just want to be told what to do. And there are plenty of people in a psychopathic position that are willing to fill that role. And really, this is a very cynical point of view right now that I have, but it's coming my main conclusion after all this research that just let the people, you're going to have to let people drift onto the rocks and crash. And then maybe they'll wake up, or maybe they won't.
Well, I totally understand, and you know, sometimes I feel that way. I guess for me, it's pursuing the truth is worth doing regardless of the consequences, or regardless, you know, how effective you may or may not be. I do think that we have had some success over the years. Maybe not, certainly not as much as we would like, but I think there's more people that are skeptical of the media and, you know, the political system in general than maybe at any other time, at least since I've been paying attention to this sort of stuff. But it can be frustrating. You know, a lot of people
because
just
they
don't
see,
have
they
interest.
See nothing changes. Nothing changes. It can't change. We can all have our favorite ice cream flavor, but once we go into the ice cream shop and realize there's only two flavors, then you have to choose one. And all our differences get divided down and boiled down into two, a binary. And then we see the system and how it works, and we know that unless we have a new system to give to the world, we're going to be stuck with this system. So you better like it, or you better lump it. So you may as well like it. And the political system has always been about getting rid of whoever's in. It's not voting someone in, it's voting someone out. That's how the system works. And most of us, if we do even vote, we always want none of the above. And none of the above will pretty much win every time. It's starting to happen in Canada now. None of the above is this party called the Green Party that stands, they don't need any kind of platform. They don't need any views. They just have maybe one policy where let's go green, whatever the hell that means. Doesn't even matter what it means. It's none of the above. And they will replace, if they get in, they will be replaced. They'll face the same system. They'll need to go to the same money system, go to the same controllers to get anything they want done, and nothing will change. And that's why people are totally cynical. And you can't even force people to vote. Even in Australia, they give you a fine if you don't vote, but you can also just ignore the fine. So it's just, the system is just too ingrained. It's too big. And I don't want to be a defeatist. I don't think what we're, as long as I'm interested in the media, I don't mind ripping it down and deconstructing it. I think the stuff we do is valuable, and some people in the world get benefit from what listening to us. And I'm always grateful to hear from anyone. One person is benefit. If I hear from one person a week that I haven't heard from before that says your work benefits me, that's reward enough. I don't need money. So that's reward enough for me. I'm happy, but I don't always go a week with hearing from a new person. That's sort of a frustrating thing. So,
well, Ab, I want to kind of wrap up now.
All right.
I think you're doing great work. I think you have done a lot of great work over the years, and you got a very interesting perspective for sure. You know, and it's always good talking to you. I'm glad that we were able to do this. I'm glad that we were able to kind of talk about 9/11 because it is a topic I'm still just totally fascinated with. Did you see I actually gave a little talk at the San Diegans for 9/11 Truth Group?
No, I didn't. I really, you know, it's hard to find information. And we have to collaborate as much as possible. Whatever interests we have that overlap, we should definitely keep collaborating on it. Of course, we have many spheres that we're interested in, and you're right to talk to me about 9/11 because the other different issues that you're involved in, I don't really have an opinion or a strong interest in. But yeah, I haven't seen that. I would like to see that. I'm surprised anyone's even talking in public about 9/11. To be honest with you, I don't really know anybody.
That's what's so cool about it. Yeah, the San Diegans for 9/11 Truth Group is man, they are impressive. They, and they always have been. They've been one of the most, you know, organized and dedicated groups that I've ever encountered. You know, I don't know how many other 9/11 truth groups are out there, you know, in other major cities in America or around the world for that matter. But the one in San Diego is still going strong. And, you know, I've known them for, gosh, since I moved out here, you know, I truth group pretty much right when I moved to California. So, yeah, it was cool to do. I'm glad that I was able to do it. And check it out. I just have an audio file of the talk that you can download and listen to. It's right over on my website. You might find it interesting. I didn't really get into, you know, a lot of the fakery involved with 9/11, but it was worth doing anyways, you know. Interesting.
Well, I'll have to see a link if you have it. If you can give me a link. I know you're at therealistreport.com. But John, why wouldn't you bring up the media fakery? Is there an apprehension on your behalf about bringing it up? Are you worried about losing an audience? What's your mindset?
Not at all. I wanted to keep it kind of basic, kind of tell my story. Well, I'll send you a link to it and you can listen to it.
Okay. But I will be happy kind of
on the main conclusions that I've come to. And that is actually one of them, but no, I wanted to kind of keep it basic and stick to the main points that I wanted to make. And I thought I did. I hadn't done a public speech in a long time, really probably since I was in college. So it was kind of a new experience. I mean, we get on here and do radio broadcasts and stuff. And I guess that's sort of like public speaking, but it's much different when you're sitting here in front of an audience of 30 or 40 people or even more, whatever it was. So.
Well,
Link man,
you're a braver man than me. There's no doubt about it. You've shown your face. I don't show my face. You show your face. You go in public. You definitely have bigger stones than I do when it comes to public speaking. So I'll definitely tip my hat to you on that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Well, hey, let's stay in touch, man. We'll have to do this again in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't do many broadcasts. So it's not that I'm shunning you or any particular person. It's just that I just have not done an organized discussion in a while. And I can't, because of my schedule the last few years, I can't be really regular. I have been looking into other platforms. Again, I always want to go to where people are. And I think a lot of people are still at YouTube, although there are other platforms. Even as oppositional as YouTube has been to our kind of discussion, it still seems like some people get through cracks and are able to broadcast. I've been listening to one particular truther, Infinite Plane Society. I'm not trying to promote him, but I have been listening to him lately. As you know, you hit certain researchers and you just listen to them exclusively for a while just to get a good sense of who they are and what they're talking about. And he has been doing long audios on YouTube and getting a pretty decent audience, but mainly lately black people, because he's talking about a rapper called Nipsey Hussle. Now, I'm not into rap at all, and I don't even know who this person is, but he's getting a lot of people talking about the stuff we like to talk about. So I've been investigating getting into YouTube and just trying to broadcast onto that platform. So if you wanted to join me in an audio, you could come right onto the Discord, because I've managed to cobble tether together. Or I have the Discord going through the YouTube audio. So I wouldn't mind having you on the Discord connected to me, and we could take phone calls, discuss these kinds of issues once in a while. That would be great.
Yeah, man, I would be up for that. We'll have to kind of coordinate it. Like you, I have a very, very busy, hectic schedule, so it makes more challenging, you know, setting things up and doing things like this anymore. But no, yeah, I'm sure we could make something work. And I'm gonna have to let you go, buddy. I got a few things I got to do here, and I'm gonna have to take
all
off.
Right.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to the chat in San Diego, and then yeah, man, we should try to do a YouTube discussion. That'd be cool, I think.
Okay, well, I'll let you wrap up the audio, and I'll package it up and send it to you.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend, and I will be talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you, John.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, I see by the clock on a wall that it's time to bid you one and all goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long.
So long.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Be good.
Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Keep warm.
Relax.
At ease.
Take care.
Stay loose.
Adieu, mon vieux.
A la prochaine.
Goodbye till when we meet again.